Happy Easter. Thank you so much, Linda, for that wonderful welcome. Wow, that was outstanding. We're so grateful to be thinking about what this day means to all of us. You know, it was an incredible weekend here in our church community, and we'll share some of that news with you as service continues. But we should also not turn a blind eye that it is also challenging times in our world and even right here in our city. Less than 24 hours ago, just a block from here, there were protests about what's happening in Gaza and different sides pleading their case, oftentimes begging for peace. And yet, there is a razor's edge that separates the desire for peace and the temptation to fight. And there were some clashes and some arrests made. So we just want to be a church that's aware of and praying for the community that we live in. I'd say there's never been a more pivotal time to talk about resurrection, the miracle of newness, reconciliation, and peace. So please join me right now as we say a short prayer. Our God, we trust that you have knowledge outside of this world, knowledge and the ability to discern beyond our ability to discern. And Father, because you have that ability and because you're worthy of our prayers, we ask that you would intervene into the violence of our world and find ways to peace, be in our city, be in our nation, be in our world. Help us to find hope in the midst of horrors. We love you and we thank you for the opportunity on Easter to celebrate newness. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. 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 You know, originally Easter was a celebration of the spring equinox. You already knew that though, right? You got that. Now, what you may not have known is that early Christians merged their resurrection ceremonies around the time of Jewish Passover with the date of the pagan festival of Easter and then just called it Resurrection Day. So the eggs, the bunnies, the candies, that all came before Jesus, not after. Is that new for anyone? Okay, all right. Maybe a couple of us. All right. Most of us know our history. So now everything's sort of mixed together. Now, in my opinion, it's all good fun for the Christians as long as you remember why we're here today, right? So that's the focus, to focus on the single most miraculous, provocative, and still relevant claim there is, and that's that Jesus rose from the dead. We're working through the last chapters of Luke. We started it in Palm Sunday last Sunday. We're continuing today, and we're going to continue to work through these verses over the next few weeks. Let's continue in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, be raised again." All right, we got two things we're going to talk about today, the question and the quest. How does the question asked these women relate to us? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? All right, what does that have to do with me 2,000 years later? And then how does their quest to tell that news impact our lives today? I do want to welcome the many guests that we have today, maybe first time, maybe visiting in New York. One of the things we love to do in Big Apple Church is open the Bible and dig into it with all of our resources and faculty. So let's get ready for a journey. We're going to work through the text together, starting with this thing, the question. What is this question about? Why do you look for the living among the dead? It's kind of a weird question when you think about it, because they were looking for someone who had died. It's a grave. Why would they ask why you're here if you were planning on looking for someone who was buried there? You get what I'm saying? It's like ordering tacos at an Italian restaurant. And the manager might say something like, "Why are you looking for carnitas among the linguini?" You know what I'm saying? What are you, wise guy? You know, we're trying to figure this out. It's weird. It's a weird question. It doesn't make sense. But it happens to be a very profound question and a good question for us all. Why do you go looking, or where do you go looking for the important things, the things that really matter to you? Real life, purpose. Where do you go looking for purpose? Now, sometimes we hope to find answers to our deepest questions in places that are not set up to answer those questions. Let me tell you what I mean. One of them is Google. Now, I use Google every day. I'm not speaking bad about it, all right? But when it comes to explaining the deep truths, yes, we do have some people that work for Google. I have to tread lightly here. I love Google, love their food, love their tech. All right, sorry, on the record. I'm using what Google put out from last year, 2023. These are the top 10 Google searches with the word explained. So when someone wants an explanation about something, they go to Google and they write. Now, I did a little test with my family yesterday. What do you think were any of the top 10, all right? And they didn't get any of them. All right, so if you're like me, I'm thinking important questions, but here's what they are. Now, at first I thought, well, the menu, that was a little bit of a confusing movie. I enjoyed it, but hey, people are looking. How do you explain that? No one will save you. At first, I didn't realize that was a sci-fi horror film. I thought it was, oh, people are looking for salvation and answers to spiritual questions. No, that's not what that was. Silo, I was familiar with. Reptiles, not an animal, but also entertainment. Yes, that makes sense. Number 5 and 10, political issues, real issues, war issues. But then we got beef, white noise, the ending of Loki. I mean, if you're there, Google, help me here. What universe are we talking about? And then, of course, the NBA in-season tournament. What is that? Have you still figured it out? I don't know what it is. I mean, branding, right? So, you know what's not on the list? God explained. See, you figure out what universe Loki is in with Google, not who God is. Why? Because the authors and authorities of the online world are people like us. If you're looking for the author and the authority of the entire universe, you're not looking for a somebody like us. You're looking for a someone well beyond us. Now, we said it last week, God's truth can come from anywhere. Absolutely. Even the stones will cry out, I have seen the power of God on the interweb. But that's peripheral, not the source. Maybe that's like waiting to hit the lottery. Sure, it can happen, but that's not a sound financial plan. Go to where God is, for sure, not where he might be. God is in the Bible. God is in the Bible. In John 7:17, this was a very helpful passage for me when I was trying to figure out where God was. And it says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. It just takes a little investigation to figure out, is this thing true? And this is the part of how the question turns into a quest. How might it felt for those who found the empty tomb? Imagine you're there. Imagine you're going, your best friend, your teacher, your Lord, your Messiah has died. Your dreams are dashed. You show up to where he's buried and he's not there. How might that have felt? Well, to help us understand, we turn to Indiana Jones. Specifically in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, because Indy and his buddy Sala realize that the Nazis don't have all the right information on their maps to find the Ark of the Covenant. And it's a great scene where these two get a smirk on their face and say in unison, let's all say it together, it's too fun, they're digging. Thank you, thank you. Now, this is not a sad state of affairs because there's hope in finding the right place to look. Like the woman at the tomb, there's no reason to be discouraged by the angel's maybe weird question. It's like, okay, we're looking in the wrong place. Where do we go to find him then? And they say, well, remember his words. He's risen. He's not here. He's going to be among the living. He's going to show up when you're on the road, hanging out with other believers, when you're eating breakfast with the other Christians, when you're with other people who are looking for him too. So we can be encouraged. to hear that we've been looking, maybe, in some of the wrong places for the bigger questions in life, our purpose for spiritual truth. But today, that can change in an instant, in a decision, because tombs are for burials and grieving and what was past. But today, we found our way to church. Somehow, some way, you ended up here. Like the women, you woke up early, right? A lot of us woke up a little extra early because we were wearing some different clothes that we might not normally wear, right? Took a little extra time to get ready. Things are going on. What's the Times Square train schedule? Am I going to get there? We woke up early. We got here somehow, some way, with people that are looking for the same thing we are. That's the question that turns into a quest. So what happens next? Verse 8. When they remembered his words, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women. Shame on them. Because their words seemed to them like nonsense. What are you saying? He was dead. He can't be alive. I don't get it. They're saying, we didn't get it either, but he's not there. Verse 12, Peter, however, something about it. Peter's like, wait a minute. Got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. I'm never sure if the bending over is because he ran to the tomb and he's out of shape or because he's trying to look in. I'm not sure. But he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself, what had happened? What had happened? His words became their words. Jesus' words became the women's words. The women's words become Peter's words eventually and becomes the world's words. It seemed like nonsense at first, but then there's this word, wonder, wonder. What is this word wondering? In the New International Version, it's the word wonder. It's a little bit like that emoji. Do you ever send this in your text messages, the little wonder emoji? One of my best friends, Al, loves this emoji. And when I get this emoji from Al, I know he's wondering, maybe some questions are coming. What does that mean? All right. And that's legit. That's a good use of that emoji. Now, typically, when we're thinking about, if someone says, you know, I dunked a basketball today. If the response is, usually that might mean there's casting some doubt on the proposition that you dunked a basketball. And in my case, that would be a good doubt because I cannot dunk a basketball. All right. However, when you look at some of these other translations, you see some weird words that don't sound like the What you see from the NRSV is amazed, marveled in the King James. And by the way, I looked this up. This emoji is formally called the astonished emoji, if you didn't know. So what's going on here? What is this wonder? What is this? Is it amaze? Is it wonder? Is it doubt? Is it Well, if you look through the whole book of Luke, this is what you find. It's a very positive thing. The matzo is marvel, be astonished, wonder, admiration. And if you work it through, people are amazed, whether it's John the Baptist or Jesus' birth or his parents or the whole town being amazed at Jesus, the centurion's faith, disciples being surprised at wonder of Jesus' command of nature, when they admire Jesus' miracles, like when he healed the demon-possessed man. Even his enemies marveled, were astonished, open mouth emoji, surprise, happy maybe, so much so that in verse 41 of the later chapter of 24, it says his friends, they were amazed when he showed them the holes in his wrists and his feet. What is going on? This is not a, I wonder, give me more information. This is, oh my gosh, something big is about to happen. Today is a day of wonder. To marvel at this thing, this resurrection. And if you're still baffled, no problem. First of all, you're in good company with people like Peter in Luke 24, who ran, barreled over, looked in, and the next step was, I am astonished, I have some questions, let's move forward with faith. If you're just visiting here with us, whether in person here in the room or online on YouTube, we want to get to know you, and we want you to get to know us. Let's connect. Let's exchange info. If you're online, send a message to our YouTube moderator who's working very hard back there. Thank you, Manny. And let him know, hey, here's my info. I want to talk more. I have questions too. Whether it's emoji or astonish emoji, either one, let's set up coffee. Let's set up a Bible study. Let's look at it together. Let's figure it out. Let's get you on your quest to Christ. If you're here in the flesh, we got something today for you. All right. If you're visiting with us for the first time, the welcome wagon has been pulled out. There are goodies and gifts for you. We just want to say thanks for coming. So as soon as you walk out to the left, we're going to say, you want a free thing that's really yummy? And you're going to say, yeah, actually, I do. We want to hear from you. We want to know, what's your feedback? Did you hate it? Did you like it? Do you want more? Let's talk. We're trying to serve this community, whether you're visiting, whether you live nearby, whether you found us on Google or Instagram or whatever. Welcome. Let's talk. Is that fair? We know sometimes church can be a hard choice, just getting up and going. And then which one? And what do they believe? And where's that? And what's that? Hey, if you want any encouragement on that one, I had the same thought when I came to this church, and I looked around, and I'm like, everyone's just kind of like me, just trying to figure it out. I appreciate that. Now, for those who've been around a minute, let's be thinking where we're at in our quest. Are we full speed ahead? Have we slowed down? Are we distracted at a rest stop? Or have we come to a full stop altogether? Whatever part of the path you're on, I'd say today is an opportunity to share where you're at on your quest with someone. Take time. Talk about it. How can we support one another as we take this journey together? You know, there's no real community without real communication. Let me say that again. There's no real community without real communication. Do you believe that? If we're not talking to each other, then what is this? So let's talk today. You might not get a goodie because you've been around a while, but you can still have a great conversation. You know, a young man named Derek turned his questions into a quest. He's a busy guy, busy young man, talented young man, playing competitive volleyball at the Olympic level, the highest level, the last 2 months of his senior year in high school. Very stressful time. You guys remember that last couple of months, senior in high school? Were you stressing a little bit? What's going to happen with my life? But he's getting good grades. He's applying to colleges. And he said, in the midst of all that, I want my questions about God answered. He said, hey, I want to go. Amen. Let's study the Bible. I want to know more. Please teach me. Show me. So he decided to search the scriptures. In fact, Dan said yesterday, he was calling them. Hey, when are you available? I have more questions. I want to study the Bible. Let's go. So he linked up with our youth ministry, got serious about being amazed at the message of the gospel, astonished emoji, and yesterday he made the decision to make Jesus Lord of his life and was baptized. Now, right now, the ushers have come down, and something very colorful is coming your way. This is a day of gifts, people. This is called a kazoo. Now, I want you to resist doing anything with it except holding it right now. Please do not put it to your mouth. Don't practice anything for the moment. So we're just going to put that in a pocket, put it away. I know, I'm trusting you. All right. Now, in a minute, we're going to train you how to do this. So Wendy's going to come up and get set up. But I want to tell you something, because horns are very important in the Bible. I know a kazoo is not a horn, just bear with me. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures, horns, the hatsora, the shofar, the ram horn, sometimes referred to as trumpets, they do a lot of things. And we're not going to read through all these, but they summon the congregation. They institute religious traditions. They're sometimes an alarm for war. They're played over sacrifices, used in celebrations. And in essence, we, according to the psalmist, are like a trumpet making a joyful noise. So when we sing, when we pray, when we worship, we are like a spiritual kazoo, all right? Now, even in the New Testament, it's described like voices from heaven even sound like a horn or a trumpet. Angels are sent by the trumpet call. Horns are signals of the ultimate transformation of the end times. And the Lord himself descends with trumpets. So, biblically, the sound of the horn heralds God's presence. You hear the horns, God is near. So, we are going to do the same thing today. First, we are going to get a little lesson on how to work this incredible music instrument. And then we are going to participate in a little melodious exercise. So, does everyone have one? All right, they're coming around. Wendy is going to take the mic for a few minutes, teach us, and then prepare us to play on a song later on. Here we go.
So here you go. You got your kazoo? Great. Can everyone in the room say for me, doot? Doot. Again, doot. Doot. Good. If you're a high voice, go doot. If you're a low voice, go doot. Two, ready, go doot. Excellent. Now take the kazoo and put the skinny part in your mouth and do that same thing. One, two, three, four. Three, four. Two, three, four. Excellent. Lesson two. Say for me, doodle-a-doot. Ready, go. Doodle-a-doot. Ready, go. Doodle-a-doot. Kazoo's down right now. Oh. So just say for me, doodle-a-doot. Ready, go. Doodle-a-doot. Excellent. And now say for me, do-do-do. Ready, go. Do-do-do. And if you put it together, just saying it without our kazoos, it goes like this. Doodle-a-doot. Do, do, do. Ready with me? Let's say it. Ready? Here we go. Doodle do, 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 do. And now, because you probably know this song called Glorious Day, there's a melody to that doodly do, and it goes like this. We're going to sing it first. It goes like this. Doodle do, 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 do. One, let's sing that. Doodle do, 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 do. Good. Take your kazoos, put them to your mouth, and do the same thing. One, two, ready, sing. One, two, three, sing. Are you ready to do that four times in a row? One, a two, a one, and two, and three, and go. Your cue is when you hear the singers and when you sing the text, into your glorious. Ready? Into your glorious. Yes. Now, extra credit. We do play this lick in the chorus if you want to sing in the chorus, but I'm not going to teach you that. That's your choice if you want to go, unto your glorious day, I fell out of that. That's up to you. But when we sing at the end of the chorus and we come to the interlude, I want all kazoos in the mouse. Thanks.
We had to bring a professional to train us on this. Thank you, Wendy Cavett. We are very grateful. All right, so in about 10 minutes or so, you're going to have your debut. Not before then, please. Might have to put it away. Put it in your. I put mine in my pocket because I get tempted. It's fun. So you're going to be the kazoo choir, and we're remembering the words of Luke 24:28. They remembered his words, and then they told all these things to the others. You know, our quest isn't just for personal gain. It's to share with others, to amplify the message. And two nights ago, right here in the Time Center, we had a Good Friday worship night. Sold out every single seat. Who was here? Was anyone? Yeah? Okay, a lot of us were here. And that's exactly what happened. We amplified. We worshiped. We took the words and we sang. You know, when we're thrilled about something, we tell others about it, right? In the last couple of days, what have you been excited about that you've told somebody else about? Think about it. Did you tell someone about your favorite team? Anyone watching March Madness right now? All right. Okay. The few that are willing to admit it. All right. you know, maybe something you wore, or maybe you went to a restaurant. Anyone had really good food lately, or made something, or ate some? I had some eggplant that Belkis made yesterday that was fantastic. Oh my gosh. I share about that. Why? Because you're excited about it. Your favorite team, band, or food. We love to advertise. We love to talk about the things we're pumped about. We sing about it. We scream about it. You say, when did I scream? Oh, I saw you at the concert. You were definitely screaming. We're like trumpets of the parade. And there's a lot of passionate advertising happening, especially in a place like the Big Apple, right? Say this, wear this, do this, eat this. All the commercials trying to tell us what to do. And Linda spoke about the noise of the city earlier. The sirens, the shouting, the honking of the horns, and all this advertising. But the single and sustained note of the one horn, the good news, the universal truth of Christ, is able to drown all that noise out. You know, I learned something recently about King Tut. Tutankhamun's tomb, they opened it up in 1922. He was buried over 3,000 years ago. And one of the things they found in there, which, by the way, they found, like, him, you know, the remains, the bones, one of the differences with Jesus, he wasn't there. All right, so they find him, and they find all this ornate surroundings, his tomb, and they found two horns. They call them trumpets. Not really trumpets, but that's what they call them. Hammered silver with gold finishings, and they had never been played before. They're supposed to herald him into the afterlife, right? And after being silent for over 3,000 years, the trumpets were sounded. They decided they were going to play them before a live audience of an estimated 150 million listeners through an international BBC broadcast aired on April 16, 1939. And the trumpets were played by this bandsman, James Tappan, of the Prince Albert's 11th Royal Hussars Regiment. And the story is, I couldn't verify this. I tried Snopes and ChatGPT and Google, and I couldn't figure it out. But basically, I think one of the horns broke in rehearsal. Can you imagine how you're feeling as that musician? Like, I guess the horn could only resonate certain notes, and so he tried something, and it broke. You told me to do it. I'm so sorry. Anyway, the other one played amazingly, and I have a video, not of the actual footage of it, but the audio is actual, and then there's some pictures that go on top. I want you to be able to watch and listen at this time.
The trumpets of the Pharaoh Tutankhamun, Lord of the Crowns, King of the South and North, Son of Bread.
What?
Not bad, right? It's a pretty old horn. Got some notes out of that thing. Now, the video didn't show the pictures and stuff, but you can imagine listening to this thing and even playing it, if you're the musician, and going, oh my goodness, I am playing this thing that was never played before. It was buried. It was gone. It wasn't meant for this, but somehow music's coming out of it. And here's what I think I get out of this. Maybe your faith, you feel like, has been buried for some years. Maybe you've even tried pulling it out and playing again, but something broke when you did it. Man, I tried. I came back to church, or I read the Bible. Then I got confused again. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. I'm here to tell you it's never too late. Even 3,000-year-old trumpets can play again. You can dust off the faith. You are a beautifully made working instrument, no matter how long you've laid dormant. Amen. Now, no matter what's broken, all right, some of us come in here, we're like, man, my career is broken. My marriage is broken. My family is broken. You know, my friendships, my finances are broken. I won't have a raise of hands on that. My purpose, I thought I was on a path, and now it's broken. Hey, you've come to the right place to get your spiritual quest back on straight. See, we are the heralds. We are the shofars. We are the trumpet of declaration. Our lives are witness to the possibility of new hope, that you have dusted yourself off early this morning, got ready, and got here. And that's a good start. We announce with our lives Jesus' resurrection. As we prepare our hearts for communion, I want to read you this passage from Philippians. This is Paul talking to the early Christians. And I pray these words become like a horn, a resonant sound in our hearts, and prepare us to remember what happened 2,000 years ago. Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Please pray with me at this time. God, we bow in humility to your presence. We wish to herald you into our hearts and into our world. And right now, as Arlene prayed earlier, we ask that whatever's broken inside, that you would start repairing and healing even now. Help us to have the faith to believe that broken things can be mended and buried things can once again make beautiful music. Thank you for giving us the greatest example in Christ. And when they looked for him, they couldn't find him. The bones were gone. The body was gone. Thank you that he rose. Thank you that there were witnesses that saw him. It's the most unbelievable thing made believable and is the reason we're here today. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross 2,000 years ago. Thank you for the questions that turned into quests that turned into us being here at this moment. We ask that you help us to focus on these thoughts as we remember your body and your blood in the communion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.